This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam to the continuation of our explanation of the Hanbali text Bidayatul Abid wa Kifayatul Zahid by the great Hanbali scholar of al-Islam Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ba'li rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in this majlis, we will complete the text, walhamdulillah. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to bless us. We ask Allah for the best in this world and in the hereafter. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the author states, Kitabul Jihad, the book of Jihad. Walhamdulillah, we covered Tahara, Salah, Zakah, Siyam, and the last of the Rub' of Al-Ibadat, the last of the quarter of Ibadat, of worship, is what? Is this matter of Jihad, inshaAllah. If one remembers, the Hanbalis generally divide fiqh into four categories. The first one, Ibadat. This includes your Salah, Zakah, Siyam, Hajj and Jihad. Then we go into the matters of Mu'amalat. That's the second one quarter. The third quarter, this is relating to family fiqh, family law, inshaAllah. And the last one, the ilm of qada, matters related to the judiciary and penalties, etc. So with this covering of Kitab al-Jihad, we will complete the first quarter, which is the matters related to worship, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, remember that just like Salah and Zakah and Siyam and Wudu, they all have their preconditions, they have their arkan, they have their shurut, they have their wajibat, they have matters which nullify them. The same with regards to Jihad, inshaAllah. With regards to Jihad, important to note that subhanAllah, some of the Sahaba were of the opinion that it is the sixth pillar of Al-Islam. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the author states, Kitabul Jihad, wa huwa fardu kifayatin. It is a communal obligation. That is the basic default rule with regards to Jihad, especially Jihad al-Talab, offensive Jihad. The basic default rule is that it is fard kifaya, communal obligation. But there are certain times, certain circumstances, which might make this Jihad a personal obligation. The author states, إلا إذا حضره أو حصره أو بلده عدو أو كان النفير عاما ففرض عين. Except if the enemy is present, the enemy, the aggressor has pounced upon you, or they've surrounded your city or your town. Or for example, there is Nafir, which is the general call. The Imam of the Muslims has given the call, that the call to arms. And so you have to obey. Sami'na wa ata'na. Or for example, that, it might have been Fard Kifaya, but you gave your name for the expedition and you are now there. You are now there on the battlefield. You cannot leave. So upon these four circumstances here, these four circumstances make it Fard Ain upon you. Personal obligation upon you now. Walhamdulillah. وَيُسَنُّ بِتَأَكُّدٍ مَعَ قِيَامٍ يَكْفِي بِهِ وَلَا يَجِبُ إِلَّا عَلَى ذَكَرٍ مُسْلِمٍ حُرٍّ مُكَلَّفٍ صَحِيحٍ وَأَفْضَلُ مُتَطَوَّعٍ بِهِ الْجِهَادِ وَغَزْوُ الْبَحْرِ أَفْضَلٍ. When it is already sufficiently fulfilled, it is an emphasized recommended act. So if, for example, we have enough who have gone out to the battlefields and there's no real need for you to go, etc., then this here it is something which is fard kifaya. But, there's people going out, it's not a personal obligation, but what type of recommendation is it for me? It's highly recommended that you go out and you fight. Highly recommended. According to the Hanbali scholars, according to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Jihad, it is the best tatawwu act. It is the best non-obligatory act after the obligatory matters. After the fara'id, it is the best of the sunnah matters, the best of the nawafil matters, walhamdulillah. وَيُسَنُّ بِتَأَكُّدٍ مَعَ قِيَامٍ مَنْ يَكْفِي بِهِ. And it is sunnah when there's enough people, sunnah for you to go forward. It's from amongst the best of the non-obligatory acts of worship. وَلَا يَجِبُ إِلَّا عَلَى ذَكَرٍ. It's only an obligation upon the male Muslim, the hur, the free, the mukallaf, the one who is baligh, the one who is sahih, meaning that they are well, they have the ability. The author states, وَأَفْضَلُ مُتَطَوَّعٍ. It is the best of the non-obligatory actions, non-obligatory types of worship. It is this matter of jihad. وَغَزْوُ الْبَحْرِ أَفْضَلْ. And being engaged in battle on the seas, this is better than on the land. Why? Because there's a greater chance of peril, greater chance of your risking of your life. And so because the risks are greater, the rewards are also greater. Walhamdulillah. And also important to remember that when we say that it's an obligation upon the Muslim male, the one who is baligh, the one who is aqil, the one who has the ability, etc. This is when it comes to fard kifaya type of jihad. But if the enemy is in the next street, the enemy has pounced upon us, whether you male, whether you female, whether you are slave, whether you are free, whether you are aqil or not aqil, etc. Irrelevant. You need to do whatever you can to defend yourself. There it becomes fard-ain, it becomes a personal obligation. The author states, وَسُنَّ رِبَاطٌ وَهُوَ لُزُومْ ثَغْرٍ لِجِهَادٍ. It's recommended to stand on the borders of the Muslim lands, to stand guard there for at least any amount of time, at least an hour. Hour here does not mean 60 minutes, but at least a time span, any time span. Great reward for you for being in ribat, insha'Allah. وَتَمَامُهُ أَرْبَعُونَ يَوْمًا. And to complete a session of ribat, it is to be there for 40 days, insha'Allah. وَأَفْضَلُهُ بِأَشَدِّ خُوفٍ. And the best reward you will get for this ribat is to be in the area where there's great peril, as opposed to the area where, you know, things are quite okay, the enemy is not really advancing, the enemy is not trying to advance. But to be on the front lines, where the enemy is planning to advance, where the enemy is trying to advance, to be in the ribat there, to be stationed there, your rewards will be greater, inshallah. Why? Because you are doing a greater service for the Muslims. وَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَقَامِ بِمَكَّةِ. And being in ribat on the front line, this is better than living in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Why? Because of your assistance and help to the Muslim Ummah, walhamdulillah. وَلَا يُتَطَوَّعُ بِهِ مَدِينٌ لَا وَفَاءَ لَهُ. Subhanallah, look at the adl of al-Islam. In terms of jihad, which is a communal obligation, you who owe people money, you need the permission of the one who gave you this money. You need the permission of the one who lent you the money before you can go out. You need his permission. An insolvent debtor is not to voluntarily enlist without permission. Or you need to have some sort of collateral that if you die as a martyr, this debt can be paid off, insha'Allah. Remember, يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبِ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. All of the affairs of the martyr, they are overlooked and forgiven, except the matter of debt, subhanAllah. وَلَا يُتَطَوَّوْ بِهِ مَدِينٌ لَا وَفَاءَ لَهُ إِلَّا مَعَ إِذْنٍ أَوْ رَهْنٍ مُحْرَزٍ أَوْ كَفِيلٍ مَلِيءٍ. You can't go if the person gives you permission, or you have some collateral, or you have some guarantor who will cover your debt if you pass away, if you are killed. So there's somebody to cover it, then it would be permissible, insha'Allah. وَلَا مَنْ أَحَدُ أَبَوَيْهِ حُرٌّ مُسْلِمٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And also, فَرْضْ كِفَايَ jihad. Communal obligation jihad, you are only allowed to go out if you have the permission of your parents, your father and your mother. If they are Muslim, you need their permission, otherwise you cannot go. If they do not give you permission, you cannot go out for fard kifaya type of jihad. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ وَلَوْ وَاحِدًا مِنْ إِثْنَيْنِ. The Muslims, we face the enemy, and we are 10,000 in number. The enemy is 50,000. And we say that this is a major problem here. You know what? We feel that it's better if we flee and we do not fight today. Would this be permissible? The answer is yes. As long as the enemy is more than double your size, it would be permissible to flee, but it is permissible to fight. it would be permissible to flee, and it's also permissible for you to remain and fight. In most battles in history, the Muslims were the underdogs in terms of numbers. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ وَلَوْ وَاحِدًا مِنْ إِثْنَيْنِ. And if you are there facing two individuals in battle, you need to stand and you need to fight. But there's three, there's five, there's more than two, then you can flee if there is maslaha and if there's benefit in that, insha'Allah. فَإِنْ زَادُوا عَلَى مِثْلَيْهِمْ جَازًا. But if the enemy is more than double, if they are only double your size, you have to fight. But if they are more than double your size, then you can leave, insha'Allah. وَلَا يَجُوزُ لُقَتْلُ سَبِيٍّ وَأُنْثَى وَخُنْثَى وَرَاهِبٍ وَشَيْخٍ فَانٍ وَزَمٍ وَأَعْمَى لَا رَأِي لَهُمْ وَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوا أَوْ يُحَرِّضُوا عَلَى الْقِتَالِ. SubhanAllah, the Muslim, we're not allowed to kill children, women, hermaphrodites, the priest, the old, the chronically ill, men, women, the ones who are blind, as long as they are not fighting us, as long as they are not assisting those who are fighting us, we do not kill them, we do not fight these women, these children, these old, the monk in the monastery, we do not engage in fighting them, walhamdulillah.
وَيُخَيَّرُ الْإِمَامُ فِي أَسِيرٍ حُرٍّ مُقَاتِلٍ بَيْنَ قَتْلٍ وَرِقٍّ وَمَنٍّ وَفِدَاءٍ بِمُسْلِمٍ أَوْ بِمَالٍ وَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ اخْتِيَارُ الْأَصْلَحِ فَإِنْ تَرَدَّدْ نَظَرُهُ فَقَتْلٌ أَوْلَى.
With regards to the captured soldiers of the enemy, so we're talking about the soldiers of the enemy, these free soldiers, free men of the enemy, what do we do with them? The Imam of the Muslims has four options. Number one, execute them. Number two, set them completely free. Number three, ransom them for money or ransom them for a Muslim prisoner that they might have. Or number four, keep them as slaves. Four options, and he does whatever is best, insha'Allah. And the author mentions, and if, you know, there's no best, the Imam is mutaraddid, doesn't know exactly what to do, and according to the author, it would be best that they are executed. Why? Because otherwise, they might come back and might fight you on another day. And so, rather, execution is the best option here. The author mentions, also remember, that if any of these, if they accept Islam, if any of these prisoners embrace Islam, then the option for execution does not apply any longer. If any of them embraces Islam, then we do not have the option of execution any longer. Walhamdulillah. Faslun, now the author discusses the matters pertaining to the war booty, the spoils of war. وَيَلْزَمُ الْإِمَامُ أو الجيش إخلاص النية لله تعالى في الطاعات. It is required that the commander-in-chief of the army and the soldiers, they purify the intention that what they are doing, this jihad, it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعليه عند المسير تعاهد الرجال والخيل. And at the time of the expedition, the imam is obliged to make contact with the soldiers and check on them, see to their needs, etc. Make contact with them, not necessarily a contract, but rather make contact with them, be there, lift their spirits. وَعَلَيْهِ عِنْدَ الْمَسِيرِ تَعَاهُدَ الرِّجَالِ وَالْخَيْلِ وَمَنْعُ مَنْ لَا يَصْلُحْ لِلْحَرْبِ. And he should prohibit those who are not suitable for war, along with those who are what? Those who will, decrease our momentum, who will lower our momentum, remove them from the army. مُخَذِّلٍ وَمُرْجِفٍ وَمُكَاتَبٍ بِأَخْبَارِنَا وَمَعْرُوفٍ بِنِفَاقٍ وَرَامٍ بَيْنَنَا بِفِتَنٍ وَصَبِيٍّ وَنِسَاءٍ إِلَّا عَجُوزًا لِسَقِي مَا وَنَحْوِهِ. Remove all the people who will decrease our momentum, who will cause problems for us. For example, the ones who are not suitable for war, the one who discourages others to fight, the alarmist, always talking about how great the enemy is and how weak we are, the intelligence agents, who might we fear pass on information to the enemy, those who are known for their hypocrisy, for their nifaq, the ones who cause civil unrest, children, women, except the elderly, all of them here, we remove them from the army, except if, we have the women or the old who are there to serve, bring water, look after the wounded, it would be allowed to let them go, insha'Allah.
ويحرم الاستعانة بكافر إلا لضرورة.
We do not take assistance from the non-believers except in dire need, except in cases of ضرورة.
ويمنع جيشه من محرم.
Prevent your army from doing that which is impermissible, haram. How can the help of Allah come if you people are involved in haram?
وتشاغل بتجارة.
And then the soldiers are involved in business. I mean, small business, something which doesn't take you away from your main jihad, no problem. But for example, they're all busy, more worried about selling, etc. You know, that should be prohibited.
وَيَعِدُ الصَّابِرْ بِأَجْرٍ وَنَفْلٍ وَيُشَاوَرُ ذَا رَأِي.
And the imam of the chief, the commander of the Muslim combatants, what should he be doing? He should prepare wages and gifts for the enduring soldiers and should seek counsel from the insightful. Meaning that you can set up some sort of reward. Those who do XYZ, those who kill this number of the enemy, those who down this number of the enemy's planes, etc. You will have an extra reward, insha'Allah.
So, وَيَعِدُ, he promises those who have sabr, بِأَجْرٍ,
an extra reward. وَنَفْل, nafl is like how we have nafl salah, over and above the obligation that you will get extra reward, insha'Allah. And also, he should make mashura with people of intelligence.
وَمَنْ قَتَلَ قَتِيلًا فِي حَالَةِ الْحَرْبِ فَلَهُ سَلَبُهُ.
Whoever kills a combatant during battle is allowed the spoils of the one who is killed. So you took the life of this enemy in battle, then his arms, his clothing, his boots, his phone, his gold, his jewelry, etc., whatever he might have, all of this here belongs to you, insha'Allah.
فَلَهُ سَلَبُهُ وَهُوَ مَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ ثِيَابٍ وَحُلِيٍّ وَسِلَاحٍ.
What is the salab? The clothing, the jewelry the man might have, the weapons of this person.
وَكَذَا دَابَّتُهُ.
Also the animal that he was riding on, the horse he was riding, also belongs to you.
الَّذِي قَاتَلَ عَلَيْهَا,
which he fought upon.
وَمَا عَلَيْهَا وَأَمَّا نَفَقَتُهُ وَرَحْلُهُ وَخَيْمَتُهُ وَجَنِيبُهُ فَغَنِيمَةٌ.
As for his money, his saddle, his tent, other animals that he might have, etc., then they don't belong to the one who killed him, but rather they belong to the army in terms of the غَنِيمَة, in terms of the war booty that will be distributed there, insha'Allah.
فَصْلٌ وَتُمْلَكُ الْغَنِيمَةُ بِاسْتِيلَى عَلَيْهَا فِي دَارُ الْحَرْبِ.
War booty is acquired in battle, in the lands of where we are fighting, by laying hold of it, by us getting hold of it.
فَيُجَعَلُ خُمُّسُهَا خَمْسَةَ أَسْهُمٍ.
What do we do with this war booty, the spoils of war? We divide it into five categories. Four-fifths are for the mujahideen, for the soldiers. Four-fifths are for the mujahideen, the soldiers, insha'Allah. And then one-fifth will be divided into five portions and distributed as per the verses in Suratul Anfal. I repeat, the war booty is divided into five categories, five equal shares. Four-fifths are distributed amongst the mujahideen and one-fifth is divided as per the Surah Al-Anfal, walhamdulillah. And that one-fifth which is distributed as per the Surah, it is divided into five portions. لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِ, for Allah and the Messenger. Then for the Ahl al-Bayt, the family, Banu Hashim, Banu Mutallib. Then we have a third-fifth for the Masakeen. Then we have one-fifth for the orphans. We have one-fifth for the wayfarer, insha'Allah. So four-fifths, the soldiers. One-fifth is further divided into five portions and distributed as per the verse of the Noble Qur'an. Walhamdulillah.
فَيُجْعَلْ خُمُسُهَا خَمْسَةَ أَسْهُمٍ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ يَصْرِفُ مَصْرِفْ أَلْفَيْ وَسَهْمُ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَهُمْ بَنُو حَاشِمْ وَالْمُطَلِّبْ.
And so one-fifth goes to for Allah and the Rasul, and this is distributed as fay, as per the Baytul Mal. Fay, this is for the masalih of the Muslims, for the benefit of the Muslims generally. Then we give a portion to the Banu Hashim, Banu Mutallib.
Sahmun lil yatama wal fuqara. لِلْيَتَامَ الْفُقَرَاءِ.
So the poor orphans, not the rich orphans, but the poor orphans. Also, Banu Hashim, Banu Mutalib, remember, they are not allowed to take zakah. And so they get a portion here from the wabuti, walhamdulillah.
Then the author states, وَسَهْمٌ لِلْمَسَاكِينَ, for those who are destitute. سَهْمٌ لِأَبْنَاءِ السَّبِيلِ, the wayfarers, they also get a portion, inshaAllah. ثُمَّ يُقْسَمُ الْبَاقِي بَيْنَ مَنْ شَهِدَ الْوَقَعَةَ لِقَصْدِ قِتَالِ وَنَحْوِهِ لِلرَّاجِلْ سَهْمٌ وَلِلْفَارِسِ عَلَى فَرَسٍ عَرَبِيٍ ثَلَاثَ وَعَلَى غَيْرِهِ اثنان.
And then the other 4/5 are distributed amongst those who came to fight in battle, whether they actually fought in battle or maybe they didn't, but they came with the intention of fighting. The foot soldiers are allocated 1 share, and the cavalry riding men upon Arab steeds are given 3 shares, while others are allowed 2 shares. Shares are not to be given for more than 2 steeds, nor for other riding beasts.
وَلَا يُسْهَمُ لِأَكْثَرْ مِنْ فَرَسَيْنِ وَلَا لِغَيْرَ الْخَيْلِ. وَالشُّرِطَ فِي مَنْ يُسْهَمُ لَهُ أَرْبَعَةُ شُرُوطٍ.
And the person who we give these shares to, there are 4 conditions which must be met. The person must be baligh, must be aqil, must be hur, must be free, must be male.
فَإِنْ اِخْتَلَّ شَرْطٌ رَضَخَ لَهُ وَلَمْ يُسْهِمْ.
And if any of these conditions are not met, then this person is not given to them, they are not given a share like is the normal share. They are given something from the war booty, but it's not like a major share like they would have been given if they were from amongst the mujahideen. So we have women who also came and they were assisting and they were burying the dead and they were giving water and providing water for the mujahideen. They will get something. But we don't call this a share. They don't get a saham. We call this a radh. This is like a gift that they are given from the war booty, inshaAllah.
وَإِذَا فَتَحُوا أَرْضًا بِالسَّيْفِ خُيِّرَ الْإِمَامُ بَيْنَ قَسْمِهَا وَوَقْفِهَا.
And if the land conquered is, if the land is conquered in battle, the commander in chief chooses between 2 options, divide this land amongst the fighters or making it a waqf amongst the Muslims.
على المسلمين وقف for the Muslims. ضاربا عليها خراجا مستمرا يؤخذ ممن هي في يده.
And this land tax will be applied upon this land, whether the non-Muslims are living on it, whether the Muslims are living on it. This kharaj tax will be levied upon the land, inshaAllah. And this must be paid, inshaAllah. So 2 options. One, we make this land a waqf, and whoever is living on it, etc., needs to pay the land tax. And this goes to the benefit of all Muslims. Or we divide it amongst the fighters, inshaAllah.
وَمَا أُخِذَ مِنْ مَالٍ مُشْرِكٍ مِنْ مَالٍ مُشْرِكٍ بِلَا قِتَالٍ كَجِزْيَةٍ.
And money which is taken from the disbeliever without any fighting, for example, like the jizya, the kharaj, the land tax, ushr, which is the 1/10 commerce tax from the harbi, from the one who is fighting with us, وَنِصْفُهُ مِنَ الذِّمِّ, and half of that which is taken from the dhimmi, 5%.
وَمَا تَرَكُوهُ فَزِعًا,
and if they left behind their belongings because they fled, and so there was no fighting which occurred with them because they just fled.
أَوْ عَنْ مَيِّتْ وَلَا وَارِثْ لَهُ,
or for example, the deceased who has no inheritors. So here we're talking about the chapter of inheritance. Someone passes away and has absolutely no is at all. What happens with all of this money here? It is fe'un. Fe', this is money which goes to the state coffers, the Baytul Mal, the treasury, and it will be spent on behalf of the benefit of the Muslims. No specific way that we will spend it. It must be on behalf of the Muslim community for their benefit. Walhamdulillah, masha'Allah.
Faslun. Now the author discusses certain treaties, pacts that we might have with the enemy. وَيَجُوزُ عَقْدُ ذِمَّ لِمَنْ لَهُ كِتَابٌ أَوْ شُبْهَةُ كِتَابٍ كَالْمَجُوسِ وَلَا يَصِحُ عَقْدُهَا إِلَّا مِنْ إِمَامٍ أَوْ نَائِبِهِ.
It is permitted to have a treaty, a pact with people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, or people who have something like a book, like the Zoroastrians, the Majus. So we are allowed to have this agreement, the dhimma agreement with the Jews, the Christians and the Majus according to the madhab and nobody else.
وَلَا يَصِّحُ عَقْدُهَا إِلَّا مِنْ إِمَامٍ أَوْ نَائِبِهِ.
And this aqd of dhimma
where they will pay the jizya, they will live in the Muslim land, and we will grant them protection, etc. This can only be enacted from the Imam of the Muslims or the ones who he delegates to doing this. It's not up to Ilyas and Fatima and Sumayya to be doing this type of contract. وَيَجِبُ إِنْ أَمِنَ مَكْرُهُمْ وَالْتَزَمُوا لَنَا بِأَرْبَعَةِ أَحْكَامٍ. And if they obey with regards to this here, then they need to, if وَيَجِبُ إِنْ أَمِنَ مَكْرُهُمْ, if we are free from their deceit and they are deceiving us, etc. وَالْتَزَمُوا لَنَا بِأَرْبَعَةِ أَحْكَامٍ. And they need to abide by four conditions. They need to abide by four conditions. Number one, أَنْ يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدْ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. They need to pay the jizya to us. They need to pay this poll tax to us while in a humble state. You know, they should pay this tax to us in a humble state, meaning that, you know, we have the upper hand over them. So they need to pay the jizya, number one. Number two, وَأَلَّا يَذْكُرُوا دِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ illa bi khair. They shouldn't mention Islam except in goodness. They shouldn't be belittling Islam and running Islam down. Wa alla yaf'alu ma fihi dararun 'ala al-muslimin. They shouldn't do anything which causes harm to the Muslims. Wa an tajri 'alayhim ahkamul Islam fi nafsin wa malin wa 'irdin wa iqamati al-hadd fi ma yahrimunahu kaz-zina la fi ma yuhillunahu kal-khamr. And they should the rules of Islam will apply upon them. The rules of Islam will apply upon them, upon their lives, upon their wealth, upon their honor, their reputation. And also the had penalties will apply upon them with regards to those matters that they and us regard as haram. So they also regard zina as haram, then we will apply the rules of zina upon them if they fall into this matter. Except matters which they regard as permissible, example alcohol consumption. So here we won't apply the had punishment upon them because their deen allows this. وَلَا تُؤْخَذُ الْجِزْيَةُ مِنْ صَبِيٍّ وَعَبْدٍ وَإِمْرَأَةٍ وَفَقِيرٍ وَعَاجِزٍ عَنْهَا وَنَحْوِهِمْ. And who do we take this jizya from? We take this jizya from the men, from those who are able to fight. We don't take the jizya from the women, the weak, the sick, the ill, the women, the slaves. We don't take from the old. We don't take the jizya from these individuals. وَيَلْزَمُهُمْ التَّمِيزُ عَنِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Also, they are required to distinguish themselves from the Muslims. They shouldn't be dressing like the Muslims and eating like the Muslims and talking like the Muslims. No, in the society, we must be able to make them out that they are not Muslims. وَيُمْنَعُونَ مِنْ رُكُوبِ الْخَيْلِ. They should not be permitted to ride horses like the Muslims ride. They will not be able to carry arms like the Muslims do. وَتَعْلِيَ بِنَا عَلَى مُسْلِمٍ وَلَوْ رَضِيَ. They are not allowed to build their houses, you know, higher than the houses of the Muslims, even if the Muslim neighbor says no problem. They should not be allowed to do this. وَيَجِبُ نَقْضُهُ, and it must be demolished, that portion which is above the houses of the Muslims. وَيَضْمَنُ ذِمِّي مَا تَلِفَ بِهِ لَا إِن مَلَكُوهُ مِن مُسْلِم. The ذِمِّي is liable for what is destroyed unless they have purchased it from a Muslim, and it is not to be reconstructed high if it was destroyed, except if the Muslim has constructed a home next to them, but not a part of their building. Example, a Muslim goes into their area and builds a house, and his house is smaller than the house of the non-Muslims. Here, there's no blame upon them because they have not done this. وَمِنْ إِحْدَاثِ كَنَائِسِ. They should be prevented from constructing churches, new churches. وَبِنَاءَ مَا إِنْهَدَمَ مِنْهَا. And they should not be allowed to reconstruct, you know, old churches which have been destroyed, etc. وَمِنْ إِظْهَارِ مُنْكَرْ وَعِيدٍ وَصَلِيبٍ. They should not be allowed to publicize that which is haram, their holidays and the crosses. They should not be able to publicize all of this. They should do this all in private. وَأَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ نَهَارُ رَمَضَانٍ. In the days of Ramadan, they should not be eating and drinking out in public. وَخَمْرٍ وَخِنْزِيرٍ وَرَفْعِ صَوْتٍ عَلَى مَيِّدٍ. They should be prevented in public from raising their voices for the dead. They should be prevented from reading the Qur'an Because why? Why does the author mention this? Because, for example, you know, they might belittle the Quran, they might malign the Quran, they might, put the Quran into a place of filth, etc. And so they should not be given copies of the noble Quran. وَنَاقُوسْ وَجَهْرٍ بِكِتَابِهِمْ وَالشِّرَى مُصْحَفْ وَفِقْهٍ وَحَدِيثٍ Books of fiqh, books of hadith, they should not be sold to these people. وَعَلَى الْإِمَامِ حِفْظُهُمْ وَمَنْعُ مَنْ يُؤْذِيهِمْ And the Imam of the Muslims has to protect them, and he has to prevent anyone from causing harm to them. So they are prevented from constructing new churches, from reconstructing them if they are old and destroyed, publicizing evil, celebrating their holidays in public, the crosses, eating and drinking during the day of Ramadan, from eating the swine, raising their voices for the deceased, reading the Quran, ringing the bell in public, publicizing their books, and buying a copy of the Quran, buying books of fiqh and hadith, etc. And in exchange for all of this here, the Imam of the Muslims will grant them protection, and he has to prevent anyone from harming them, inshallah. No doubt, they are like second-class citizens in the Muslim state. They are not like the Muslim, you know, in all respects. They are like second-class citizens. Faslun, وَمَنْ أَبَى مِنْهُمْ بَذْلُ الْجِزْيَةِ And whoever from amongst them refuses to pay the jizya. أو الصغار, or to be humble in front of the Muslims. أو التَزَمَ حُكْمُنَا or he does not want to adhere by our rules and regulations. أو قَاتَلْنَا أو زَنَا بِمُسْلِمَةٍ Or he fought us, or committed adultery with a Muslim woman. أو أصابها بِسْمْ نِكَاءٍ Or he got married to a Muslim woman, which is not permissible. أو قطع الطريق أو تجسس or for example commits highway robbery or spies upon the Muslims or he houses a spy, he provides sanctuary to a spy أو ذكر الله تعالى وكتابه أو دينه أو رسوله بسوء or he mentions Allah or the book of Allah or the deen of Allah or the Rasul of Allah in evil. He mentions any of those, you know, in a bad manner, disrespectful manner. أو تعدى على مسلم بقتل. Or he killed a Muslim. أو فتنة عن دينه انتقض عهده. Or he causes a Muslim confusion in his deen, and he causes the Muslim to leave the religion of Al-Islam. Then this individual who is a dhimmi, who is living within the Muslim state, he has now broken his contract with us. He has broken his contract with us. But not his family. So he has broken his contract, but not his family. Their contract still remains. فَيُخَيَّر الْإِمَامِ فِيهِ كَالْأَسِيرِ And the Imam of the Muslims has options. The options are similar to the soldier that we captured of the enemy. We had four options. Either execute him, or keep him as a slave, or set him completely free, or for example, ransom him. And so, these are the four options that the Muslim Imam has over this individual who's now broken his contract with us. وَمَالُهُ فَيْءٍ And all of his wealth will be given to the treasury, and it will be used for the benefit of the Muslims. فَيَحْرُمُ قَتْلُهُ إِنْ أَسْلَمْ But if the individual becomes Muslim, then it's haram for us to kill him. If this person becomes Muslim, we are not allowed to kill him. The other options might apply, but we are not allowed to kill the individual. وَلَوْ كَانَ سَبَّ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ And even if this person slandered the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that indicates that there's ikhtilaf and there's difference of opinion on that matter. But as the author mentions, this person did any of the above crimes, he might have even slandered the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then he embraces Islam, we accept this Islam from him, والحمد and he is our brother in faith, and we are not allowed to execute him, not allowed to put him to death. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And with that, Subhanallah, we praise Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala at the beginning, at the end. We praise Allah at the beginning and at the end. With this, Walhamdulillah, we have completed the Hanbali text. Hanbali text, Bidayatul Abid, Wa Kifayatul Zahid, Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as we've seen, although this book here only covers worship or ibadat, at times the author goes into a lot of detail in masail. It might only be a book related to worship, but it's rather detailed in terms of salah and zakah and siyam and matters. There's a lot of detail in this text, walhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. We ask Allah for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this knowledge, this us going through this text, etc. We ask Allah to grant us the tawfiq to make amal upon whatever we have learned. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the author, Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ba'ali. We ask Allah to bless him and grant him nur in his qabr. And the same with regards to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us all in the company of our Imam Muhammad ibn Abdullah salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi in Jannatul Firdaus. حياكم الله هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.